TLS is go for main engine start.
Go at throttle up. Negative return. Then we see a nominal Miko. Welcome to space.
Hello, friends. Welcome to Off Nominal. We've got, as I quipped on Twitter earlier, when Jake is out of town, I hire some legitimate YouTubers to join us on the show here. So we've got Joe Barnard, sometimes Tony Pepperoni,
howdy,
as the co-host here. And soon we got Tim Dodd, the everyday astronaut, showing up. There's something going on. I assume he's in Boca Chica, so there's something going on down there, but he'll be with us in a couple minutes. How's it going, Joe?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Oh, you know, it's good to be here. Oh, look at this. Right on cue. We've got a...
Oh, is it Tom Tidd?
Tom Tidd, the occasional scuba man,
it's,
or whatever.
Oh,
you said.
God, it's Tim Dodd, the everyday astronaut.
Hi, guys.
We're live. You called in right as we're live, so you nailed it on the intro.
That's what I do best.
Yeah. We assume there were some shenanigans going on down there, so what's been going on in your neck of the woods?
Oh, man. Okay, well, first off, I'm hearing myself, which is just a nightmare. So I'm getting the, brain jam.
Oh, no, we're not hearing you because you took your Bluetooth out.
Okay, it's
this
terrible.
Is actually, this is just
maybe
the Tim Dodd
worse.
Podcast.
I don't know. Anyway, can you still hear me?
Yeah, you're back now.
Yeah.
Okay. So more of the story. We're dealing with, three different issues down here. We're trying to get our 4K streaming setup ready for potentially a Starship orbit launch-ish soon. You know, we're trying to be prepared, and it's an absolute nightmare. We have four lines of data, and all we're trying to get is 20 megabits per second upload, which is like nothing. At home, I'm sitting on 10 gigs. I can literally shoot 7,000 megabits per second up to frame.io, and here I'm struggling to get 20 on four different services, including Starlink, two Spectrums, and AT&T, and those combined can't even get us a stable 20. Then we also found out that the way we're going to be getting 4K streams from our remote cameras, Joe, you might be interested in this. Did you know if you stream out the SSP protocol in Zcams, it turns off the ability to record?
That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
Zcam to stream. If you
use... Oh, hold on, your Bluetooth. You're doing a lot of Bluetooth.
Oh, he's gone. He's gone again.
Oh, Bluetooth Tim's back. Are you back? You might need to quit your browser or something. Your AirPods or whatever you've got there are screwing with you.
Are they better now?
Yeah, you're back. You're back.
Yeah.
Okay.
So if you take
that stream out of a Zcam and record at the same time out of the NDI port or out of the Ethernet port.
That's really cool that they did that. It's a super cool thing that they did.
Now, Joe,
this is fantastic.
Is this problematic for you because you are known to kill a couple of SD cards in your life? So maybe
stick
to the streaming.
I do Tim. I like that you asked me the other day. You were like, "How do you set up your stream?" And I was like, "You don't want what I got, man." I'm going around Verizon's back. I'm changing. I've got Terminal open on my computer right now because we did a patron stream earlier today, and I'm hacking through trying to trick Verizon into not knowing that I'm on the network. And the way that Tim's doing it is definitely more through the front door. I'm curious, how do you not get it? How do you have four connections and you can't get 20 megabits?
He's in the middle of nowhere.
Something about, even Port Isabel, it's just basically impossible. They have fiber run to a few places, but they will not bring it out here without $20,000 and $500 a month for a 5-year contract.
Yeah.
Wow. So it's no, we're not doing that.
And you have
that.
To do a whole environmental assessment to get them to run that line as well. So.
Well, that's the thing. It's probably take 3 to 5 months,
walks,
too.
You got to put up historical markers about what used to be at your house. It's a real situation.
You got to write a book report, Tim.
Wait, I skipped over the whole
as
drink
always.
Segment where we talk about what we're drinking. Joe, you recently woke up from a nap. Are you drinking anything at the moment?
Yeah, I can go grab some. Tim, why don't you go first?
He's out of here. He's gone.
I mean, in normal, typical 3 o'clock off nominal fashion, I'm drinking a delicious off nominal Raz cranberry.
That is nice. I got a similarly typical off-nominal situation. I've got a Dogfish Head 90-minute IPA. This is a very delicious...
See, that's an actual...
This is a legitimate drink. Yeah.
Dang it. My LaCroix doesn't count.
I grabbed my drink. I grabbed what I'm drinking today. I have from the lovely kind of angry woman at the gas station in Lucerne Valley, California. I have this. It's a sparkling water. It's lime.
That's fancy.
It's pretty good. Makes a nice noise when you open it.
That's fancy. I love that you're going to.
We are making
the whole
Anthony
situation.
Look like an absolute alcoholic at this point.
That's, you know, one of us hosts the show that you drink beer and talk about space stuff, so that's totally legitimate.
I can get a beer. I'm just going to, it'll ruin my day at this point. I woke up like 15 minutes ago.
Yeah, let's hear about your desert travails today. Like, what's going on out there?
Yes.
I was up until 10, but that's not 10 p.m. I was up until 10 a.m. Because I did a launch this morning. I did a launch and landing test, and they're getting closer. You know, it's not working yet. We're like finding all of the ways that it can't work. But then I got back here with my trusty seltzer and passed out, and then woke up just in time for this. So we're doing great.
We should talk about what you've been up to lately, because you had a pretty epic this level 3 rocket that you've. This was like, what, a month ago that you posted? No, 2 weeks ago? A week ago?
Yeah, something like that. It was like all of June. Rocket
motor to an well, yeah, I mean, the timeline in your life was way longer than the timeline in our life, in which we have now enjoyed this. I thoroughly enjoyed the... you had a great recap of things that go wrong the day before launch, and maybe I should skip to that part.
Like no avoiding that. It's the same thing as like you decide, hey, I'm going to do a stream. Tim knows this, but like you're like, hey, I'm going to do a stream. And then it's like all of the cables that were just about to break decide that they're going to break. And like everything that can't go wrong. Well, that was a fun project, though.
That's
it was really cool.
True.
It was like a pretty easy rocket, relatively speaking, because you just get parachutes out and, you know, it'll come back down either way. it was fun to do a project where I can like start it and finish it in the course of a month. Cause most of my stuff is a lot longer. So it was like satisfying to do that.
Can you give us like the rundown on where this is in the Joe Barnard cinematic universe? Like you're on this general mission to launch something to space, but you have a lot of subtasks in there. And
parallel universism is, yeah.
In the Joe Barnard cinematic universe, in the canon of the cinematic universe, this doesn't actually need to be there. It's mostly just like you can go to space without getting your level 3 certification, but it gives you a lot more. It's like a trust building measure with these organizations to be like, look, I'm going to go ahead and do it the right way. And there's a bunch of fun parts of this process that were omitted from the video is the way that I'll say that. But I got the certification, it's done. And mostly the flight was just like, you know, good to get some experience under my belt. Cause the next thing I'm doing is insane. That's the meat rocket.
Wait, before we get to the meat rocket, keep focus here. Focus here. You mentioned in the video that level 3 certification, it's like basically when you do a good amount of science in Kerbal and it unlocks a bunch of parts. Like this is
that's exactly
effectively
what it is.
You're going up the tech tree.
You're going up the tech tree.
Have you made any purchases in this life, or have you gotten your paperwork back? I don't know how this works.
No, these organizations work pretty slow because they're like not, you know, they don't have a ton of people. And so I haven't gotten my paperwork back. I guess there's a chance that I totally failed it and I just lied to everyone on YouTube. Which, like, sorry. it worked pretty well. It was a super basic project, but it wasn't, you get the certification with the organization, and it's not like a legal thing necessarily. So you can still buy massive motors. You can still, like, build, well, it's really more you can build massive motors without having the certification. But getting the certification is like, a measure of good trust of like, I want to do it the right way. And for a lot of these older folks that are like running the show with the organizations, it's kind of good to show that you want to do your homework.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Is that why you include segments such as these.
Okay, so that's one green one. Right, welcome back to Tony Pepperoni. Leans his entire body weight onto about 6 pounds of ammonium perchlorate composite rocket propellant.
Because this is doing it the right way. Right?
This is the clip. Yeah, no, and I'm glad you picked this one, not the one where we're hammering it in with
yeah,
a dead low mallet.
A little farther in the background while we're chatting.
I love that.
This did make me very nervous. The hammer moment made me very nervous. I was pretty sure you were about to come out and be like,
I'm not going to say it's an amazing idea, but I will say that like APCP was developed as this like to be a really safe propellant. That stuff won't become a problem for you until you really try to light it and you really try to contain it. That's what I'll say. So you got to really do it wrong before it gets you in trouble.
Level 4 certification is which propellants can you or can't you hit with a hammer? That's the test.
Yeah.
Which of these things would
that's
you
just
hit?
Just one question. Yeah, yeah. It's just one question.
Wait, what do you mean light it or try to contain it? Like if you try to like... Oh, you mean like
if I took a match? Don't do this. If I took a match and I put it next to that rocket motor, I should be careful what I say here.
It's going great.
I'm pretty sure it wouldn't light. Like APCP really wants to light under pressure. So when you start one of those motors, more than half of the process of starting it is just building the pressure inside the case, right? Like all about combustion combustion efficiency and how it goes up with your pressure in your chamber, right? It's the same thing with solid rockets. Like below a certain point, the AP doesn't want to light. And so until it's contained, it could catch on fire, but it won't explode. It's not like an explosive compound necessarily where it won't detonate. It'll just burn. Like it'll be a really pretty fire. You also, just for the record, like I'm running on like, I've been awake for 20 minutes today and I am not an expert. So don't take any of this. I'm about 70% sure of what I'm saying.
I want my Joe Barnard.
I mean, I selected a couple clips from both of your recent videos that I thought would be fun to play on the show. And I feel like this is a good moment to pivot to Tim, one of your recent Starbase tours, in which acclaimed smart person Elon Musk had one of my favorite quotes of all time. So I'd just like everyone to sit back and enjoy this one.
At an angle similar to the shuttle, like, I don't know, 60, 70 degrees. So sort of like if the ground is the surface of the Earth, we're...
He just said, if the ground is the surface of the Earth, which didn't need an explanation... If the ground is the surface of the Earth. If in that case it is the surface of the Earth, here's what it would look like. So,
well, what if it's the moon?
I guess.
Or Mars.
Yeah.
This man's thinking about other planets,
it's
man.
True. All right. You know what? You've saved it there.
I want to make a little protest here that you brought up a clip of me hammering ammonium perchlorate, and then you brought up a clip of Tim interviewing Elon Musk, and that feels a little bit off balance to me in terms of how good it makes us look.
Yeah, well, all of my clips on YouTube are me sitting here drinking beer, so you know, don't get too high and mighty. So Tim, you're back in Boca Chica now. I assume you were not there for a long time, right? While all the environmental assessment situation was going on, like you had kind of just cooled off to see how things were going to go.
Sorry, I switched things around, and now I can actually hear myself without crying.
Oh,
can
there
you repeat
go.
The question?
I'm talking about your time in Boca Chica, because you had, I think the last time we talked, God. We still didn't know how like the whole environmental situation was going to go. So you were
right,
kind of just hedging your schedule and had not been down there for a while.
I've now spent 2 weeks back down here. And as you can tell, SpaceX is ramping up like crazy. There's a lot of testing going on. We have both B7 booster and S24 at the sites, getting ready to be tested here and static fired and all this stuff. So things are ramping up. I don't know for sure if it's going to be in the next, I don't know. What do you guys think? I feel like we're maybe 2 months feels possible. A month or two feels maybe even possible, but I don't know. So therefore I'm like, scrambling. I'm back in scramble mode.
How soon is it going to be? That's what I actually want to know from you, from now being there again, right? Like, there's this whole list of things that have to happen before you're going to be doing your stream for the launch. Are any of those things, like, visible? Do you see active wildlife stands being set up? And have you read any recent reports on the Civil War?
So, I don't know how much of that stuff needs to be, like, actively finished or, like, in process. You know, like, hey, we now have a person looking for ocelots or whatever. Like, is that, like, good enough? Or do they have to see an ocelot before that gets checked off?
I have a question about the book report. Is it if it's, like, riddled with spelling errors, are they going to make them go back and, like, redo it?
And then they run it through one of those.
Who sees that?
What's the thing that you run it through the night before to check if you've plagiarized everything? Like, they
If it turns out that they just ripped a bunch from Wikipedia. Yes.
They just copy pasted. The War of 1841.
I mean, that's the pro move, actually, is to hire a bunch of people from Wikipedia to write the report.
Yeah. I mean, why not?
Circulate that, Tim. So that's circulate the thing, that amongst the, like, people down there.
But that is the thing. I don't know how many things have to be, like, completely in, like, you know, moving or whatever, or done. I have just no idea, honestly. So we'll see. But meanwhile, like, yeah, we're in full-blown panic mode just trying to get stuff stable and running and blah, 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 because I don't want to miss this. Yeah. And it feels like, I don't know, I've got that pressure of, like, oh, God, it feels like it's actually close. But then knowing, you know, how SN8 and 9, how long they took to, you know, really, from rollout to, it was over 2 months, I think, for each of them. There's a big gap between 8 and 9, and we all thought, like, oh, it's going to be, like, in a week, and it wasn't. So
that's trying not to, you know, especially with all those engines under there.
Yeah,
it seems like that's a lot to do. I don't know.
I still can't believe there's no, like, deluge system or anything. I just don't know how this is going to turn out.
Aren't there some sprayers? There's not, like, a ton of it, but aren't there some sprayers that go inward?
Like, a little. I think, like, just
it's a sprinkler
little bit. I don't know.
It's just a bunch of garden hose and just put it on the mist setting.
Yeah, it's kind of what it looks like. It's definitely not anything, you know, like the shuttle, you know, or 39B or anything like that, or 39A, where they have the giant water tower with a tube the size of a house. But, you know, you'd think that's what it would take to actually suppress sound and all that stuff. I don't know. I have no idea.
How are your windows at the house?
Oh,
how,
man,
are those doing?
Well,
are they going to get blown out?
So that's a hot topic. Is
what's,
like,
your,
okay,
insurance,
first off,
like? Does,
you know,
it cover acts
anything
of Elon
around
as well?
Here has anything around here has hurricane rated windows. You know, like, if, I mean, if they're within, I think everything should, and I think rumors have it. This was just rumor. I didn't have any corroborating sources on this, but people were saying that SpaceX was going around to older buildings and checking on the island and making sure that people's windows were up to code. And someone claims that a business got free windows from SpaceX that, like, were hurricane-proof windows. Claims. Now, I, again, no idea. But if, okay, so if it goes off normal and it flies and no big deal, I don't think it'll break windows for the most part. You know, maybe in the village some of those will break, but I think the big, you know, the big thing is if it, like, falls back on the pad or ruds on the pad.
Yeah, it's an if's doing a lot of work in that sense.
Pressure vent.
I'll be honest. That's, yeah. It feels a little less iffy than mine. Well, of course, I'm the one that made the prediction when we talked, like, a year and a half ago that a wing is going to fall off a Starship at some point. So we'll see. I don't have the best track record for predicting failure modes of these things.
I really think they've got the Raptor 2 tamed so much more that running 33 of them doesn't feel as, like, terrible. You know, I think a year ago that sounded really scary. But it feels like they've tested the Raptor 2 so stinking much now that it doesn't feel scary. So lighting 33 of them and being able to shut one down if it, you know, something happens preemptively, I think they'll have a chance. I don't think it's going to be as, like, I don't think it's going to end one. We'll put it that way. I don't think it's going to end one.
The Vegas odds on that
at least
would
not
be
N1
quite
flight 3 or 4, like the ones that went basically straight back down. Because wasn't it the first one that actually went the furthest?
And then
the first
up,
one,
like,
almost made it to stage
one
set.
One of them was, like, cooking. One of them did pretty well.
Yeah, almost made it to stage step, like within, I don't know, 20 or 30 seconds. So I think it'll do that.
Do you think, so you've like watched a lot of their progress with both like SN8 and SN9, a lot of earlier testing and stuff like that. Do you think that like it's been longer than any of us thought to like get to static fire or get to like this point? Do you think they have used that time to like streamline stuff, or do you think they can't do that so much without just doing the tests themselves? Do you know what I mean?
Like streamline stuff as in like just the like operations?
How quickly they can get tests run up. Yeah. You talk about like when we talk about like SN8 was on the pad for, you know, 2 months, 3 months, however before it flew, you know, you have to imagine that like they've learned a bunch since then. And have they been able to like anticipate things with like the booster getting to the pad where they can really start rolling more? What do you think?
Yeah, I think operational, again, I think a lot of it was just Raptors were so new, so relatively untested. You know, like SN8 had, I think, in the, you know, dozen, like 12, 14, and 18 serial number engine or something, you know. And now we're into the hundreds. So just the amount of, you know, time they spent firing and testing and using Raptor, I think is going to help a lot. Because that was half the thing. Is like they'd go for a static fire, you know.
This could also be like we're on the hundreds because they blew up 70 of them. You know what I mean? Like, how many have we seen? How many Raptors has the public seen?
Okay, well, Booster 4 ate up a ton.
Yes, that's true. Yeah. I'm not saying we haven't. I'm just saying like we should count how many we've seen and then compare it to the serial number.
Well, we know there's 29 out there in existence on Booster 4. There's 33, so there we got 62.
Yeah, we're plus already most of the way.
Yeah. Plus the 12 from the other ones. I mean, that's
pretty good,
decent.
Actually. Yeah, honestly. Like, if you made a bet 2 years ago, like, we're on serial number 100 and something, how many still exist? I don't know many people that would pick, like, I don't know, 70 or 80.
Yeah. I mean,
that's pretty good.
That's reasonable.
Yeah.
So that's the thing, though, is, like, just think about how many times they would have SN8 or 9 or one, any of them sitting out there on the pad, like waiting to static fire or whatever, and you know, they'd try to light it and it just wouldn't, you know, or they'd have a good, yeah, just a bad static fire. And it just seems like they're beyond that. Ish. We'll see, I guess, when they try
and
to actually
light. In the early days, how many things they were working out with, like the ground systems, that's still in work, but they had a lot of other, at the time of SN8, like they didn't have a lot of things that they could sit on the pad and play with. Whereas there's been a long gap where they've had plenty of hardware sitting around to like, this is my problem with the SLS situation that Jake and I talked about a couple weeks back, that like this vehicle that they took out to Kennedy was the first time they could hook anything up to anything at Kennedy. And whereas in Boca Chica, there's just like, we got this old booster. It's kind of close. Things don't really match exactly right, but like we can just test it out a couple different ways and see how things fit. And so they have the benefit there. Whereas SN8 days, like they were still doing construction on basics in the area.
The one big unknown, though, and I was just talking with someone about this the other day, is, and I don't know if this is true, but I don't think they've ever loaded liquid oxygen and liquid methane from, like, the, you know, the new ground systems into the orbital launch mount and launch stand and stuff. And there could be a lot of kinks there, you know, for any kind of first. Because they've done nitrogen, liquid nitrogen. And I think they've put liquid oxygen in, but I don't remember now. Like, I don't know if they've ever done a full load of... No, they definitely haven't, because if they do a full load of liquid methane and liquid oxygen, like, there will be, you know, an exclusion zone of...
Yeah, they'd have to close the whole...
A small nuke.
Yeah. Most of Texas would be, like, camping for the weekend.
For real.
What is your sense from... I have one more thing, because you went up the launch tower and we're like glazing over the fact that you went up this crazy thing with robotic arms and shit. And what was the time elapsed between the last time you did a tour and this time, like in real life? Was it like...
It was only like 8 months.
Only 8 months. Okay. Other than having this epic view, what were your main, like, did you have any moments when you were walking around like, oh shit, like things have changed significantly since I've been around these parts? Other than, like I said, this terrifyingly epic view.
Yeah, up the tower is definitely the big, I mean, by far the biggest one, just because that tower didn't even exist. I guess it did, actually. The tower was out there last time, but, you know, the ground system was being built still. The tanks were being built. It just looks a lot more complete and finished and all looks more official, you know? But big surprises, honestly, was I think almost more back at the build site where things are starting to get a little tidied up and we're starting to see them actually build a factory over the tents and stuff. That feels more permanent and more real to me than like just tents. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the tents were cool though. There was a vibe to that, you know?
Elon loves those tents.
All right, we got to talk about the meat rocket. We can't let this show go any longer before we talk about the meat rocket.
Meat rocket!
Yes, let's hear about the meat rocket.
Eat that meat!
Yes! I got so many good names for it, too. I don't want to tip my hand, but this is the best project I've ever done. Here's the best part. Okay, so I'll just high level. If you don't know what the meat rocket is, when you start going fast, whatever is going fast starts to heat up. And so about once you pass like Mach 2, these effects start to stack up in meaningful ways. And so I have a rocket motor in my living room that I'm looking at right now that will get us to about Mach 3 and change. And at that speed, running some really like unproven math on this, we should be able to get a surface temperature on the tip of the nose of about like 270 degrees Fahrenheit. That's enough for some, you know, some thin piece of meat to get cooked pretty well if we're really careful about how we secure it. So what we need is like some type of shield that's over the meat because you don't want the meat to get stripped away. You want to save it. And so the goal is we're going to launch this thing to mock bejesus and it's going to go to like 40,000 feet. It's going to cook along the way because of how fast it goes. And then the other thing is like the heat soaks into the meat because it'll be like this metal structure that like stays hot for a little bit. And then when it lands, we're going to bring out like, I don't want to give it all away because there's a lot of really fun tidbits to like the meme of this video. But when it lands, we'll go out and we'll eat the meat. Like you have to eat it. It's cooked. You have to eat it. And I'm totally willing to get food poisoning from this.
I was going to say, you have to cook. You have to eat it even if it's not cooked. That's the rule.
Absolutely. Yeah. No. I fully commit to that. But the other crazy thing too, you mentioned that like one of the goals that I have is to do a space shot. So I want to go to 100 kilometers at some point. And as
you can do 80.
Stupid. Okay. No, I'm not doing 80. That's not space. We're not going to have this conversation.
No, we're not.
The craziest thing is that the meat rocket actually helps us get there because Mach 3 is a pretty happy medium ground between like Mach 5 and Mach, you know, 1.5. Where like I've been to about Mach 1.5, and then so like inching up how fast we go, so I can learn how to build structures that can survive that. How I can learn how to analyze like the dynamic loading that happens when you have like shock waves that are moving down the vehicle as you pass through different aerodynamic regimes, and it's all in the name of cooking meat, just smoking these meats at 40,000 feet.
Are you going to get this sponsored by like the American Beef Society or whatever?
No, man.
Dude,
I've got it, man. I've got it. We're going to workshop this right now because I live very close to the people that you need to sponsor this whole situation. You say you need a thin piece of meat, right? We can't be doing thick cut steaks, but we could do thin steak. Okay.
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 Tony Pepperoni take his trip down from New York and hang out with me in Philadelphia for a couple of days. We're eating thin sliced cheesesteaks here all day long. And I think cheesesteak meat is the perfect thickness for this. Maybe it's a little thin, but I don't know. Maybe we could stack a couple things. I'm just saying, I'll walk right down 9th Street here, go to Gino's and Pat's, and I can stop at a couple others to see if they want to sponsor too. But we can make Philly cheesesteaks for sure.
Could you next day air me some meat from Gino's Pizza?
100%, yes. No, it's not a pizza, it's cheesesteaks. You've never been to Philadelphia.
I've never been to Philadelphia. I kind of think we should do like really nice... Yes, I've had a cheesesteak.
Okay, so you know what I'm talking about. The thickness. Does that seem like the right thickness?
Yeah.
That seems kind of thin to me.
You think it seems thick?
I think it should be some really nice like Wagyu beef. Like it should be, I should be paying
class it up a bit,
premium for, yeah, absolutely.
It's not just gas station. If we're going quick star.
All I'm saying is I've seen you use some pretty weak ass epoxy in some of these rockets, and Cheese Whiz probably could do fine. I could probably hold your cameras in just as good.
Get him. Damn. It's coming for my epoxy choices.
Well, guys, and don't anyway, forget, in Europe, you can have like beef tartare or something that's just completely raw meat.
Right, and if it gets
so you
cooked,
can get some of
like,
that
cool.
grade.
Yeah, I mean, so that would be the healthier choice that's for Joe's want, like, health, yes.
Yeah.
You want some type of meat that like would theoretically be... I'm torn because part of me wants to do chicken and commit to like, if I don't do the math right, I get salmonella. And so, like, that's funny for the stakes of it, right? Pun intended.
For the stakes of
the
it.
The stakes of it.
Yeah. No, I think it should be like some kind of nice.
Chicken's funny for the stakes of it?
Yeah. I think it should be some like Wagyu beef, something real nice.
Okay. Well, can the second one be a Philly cheesesteak? Yeah. And can I come out for it?
Yeah, when the first one inevitably fails and then I double down, I'm like, yeah, no, I want to do this again.
I'll pack a cooler, I'll bring some steaks.
Yeah. What happens if this vehicle breaks apart, like, at not even Mach 1, and are you going to have to eat it then?
Well, if we can find it,
I
do think I should
eat it. I say
you eat
anything that goes more than Mach 3.
And what's it just gets thrown away? You got to put the food to good use.
Well, is it just going to be like raw steak inside your rocket, or is it going to be slightly encased in something?
Listen, even tinfoil. If you are lucky enough to come across a little bit of desert meat, you got to eat it. You can take what you can get.
That's true. Yeah. Well.
I don't. If this doesn't work, this is one of those projects where it's a real fine line between is it worth it to try doing this again? we'll see.
I love that.
When did you start ruminating on this as an idea?
Oh, this has been percolating for a long time. I was on a call. Do you know William Osman?
I think so. Mm-hmm.
He makes like goofy videos on YouTube, does a lot of science and I don't know how to describe what he
funny
does.
Builds.
It's chaos. Yeah.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Anyway, he was the one who first got me thinking about it. He was like, what if you like, I don't remember exactly what he said, but he got me thinking about an idea that was really close to this. And so for the last year and a half, this idea has been like in my head, like that would be really funny. Like for the bit, it would be really funny to cook the meat by going fast enough. And then there's all these other ideas where like if the meat were bacon, you could also put a little reservoir up top and brew some coffee with how hot it gets in there. And it would be like, you know, half a fluid ounce of coffee. And you could do a breakfast rocket. And then you put a bowl of raw eggs under the motor so that when it lights, it just scrambles them instantly.
Ooh.
Breakfast rocket.
Breakfast rocket.
Breakfast rocket's really good.
It's all... There are a lot of projects I do where I'm like... Especially for the landing stuff. Like, I'm in the weeds and I'm trying to do some really hard engineering and, like, do it just for the pure engineering of it. And this project is, like, how clickbaity can I get with a rocket?
Are you going to do any subscale tests where you, like, have a nose cone that you heat up to the right, you know, based on your simulation, what you're going to achieve on the flight and see how you best can cook it?
That feels like a smart idea. Yeah. I haven't gotten that far yet. That feels like a pretty smart idea.
Yeah. Because you could do a three-up. You could do like a breakfast model, a cheesesteak model, and the Wagyu beef. And just like run them all at the same time. See which ones would be the most delicious.
You could do a shootout.
Does the heating only occur like at the nose cone for the most part? Or does it actually continue to go down the rocket? Because what if the whole walls were just a sleeve
bacon
of
walls.
Meat? Bacon walls.
It trails off. Any surface that is feet like colliding with a lot of air molecules. So the nose is primarily where it would be. The other interesting option is doing the leading edges of the fins as meat. But the problem is it's really hard. I want some thermocouples in there because I want to be able to read. This is the best part about it too. I want to be able to read how hot the meat is in the air over telemetry so that on the ground I can radio and I say, can I get a meat check, please?
So good.
It's all for that.
It's all for
I feel like this whole thing is literally just so you can radio that in.
Yeah,
this is incredible.
No, it's all for the bit.
If this I learned anything from Tin's recent videos, you need to put some chines on this rocket so you can cook additional meat on various parts of the vehicle. I'm pretty sure that's what I learned from Tin's video.
Yeah, maybe. Mm-hmm.
Those things look sick, by the way. They look cool on the booster.
Do they? I think they look kind of dumb.
You don't like them?
No.
Speak to that.
I'm surprised it's not more like molded.
Yes, exactly. I want something a little more organically shaped.
I think it's great. Like, I feel like it's awesome. They were just like, let's put some sheets of metal on here and call it a day.
Put some angry triangles here at 120 degrees for each other and good enough.
Now, could you cook meat in those?
Yes.
You know, I think this is probably worth Elon's time. I do think we should ask him about this.
Take a trip down, Joe.
Yeah.
Maybe you can re-entry run steak? Some demonstrators. Re-entry,
can you
re-entry
imagine
meat.
A scent
for
steak
sure,
and
yeah.
re-entry steak.
You'd have yeah, someone did it. I would take re-entry for sure.
Someone did put like a ham in a wind tunnel once. I can't remember, but I saw photos of it. They put like a ham in a hypersonic wind tunnel, and it just blows itself apart. Because the trick is that you have to transfer all of that thermal energy into the meat without transferring any of the like
wind stream
kinetic air molecule energy into it. And so you need a really thin piece of metal that just shields it, I think.
To conduct the heat.
I've got to be honest, I'm getting no results on ham meat in a wind tunnel. No results on Google for that.
I'll define it. I saw it on Twitter at some point. It looked crazy.
Well, we know that NASA shot was it a turkey or a chicken? Out of an air cannon to try to blow a hole in a... Wait, was that NASA or was that Mythbusters? Same thing.
Actually, it's a really dark joke to make, but... I was going to say that's what they shot at the leading edge of the shuttle wing when they were doing the Columbia investigation.
Oh,
was it
no.
turkey?
Okay.
That's what I feel like I've seen footage. Maybe it was
definitely
just a piece of foam. Okay, Mythbusters shot something.
Yeah.
Why was Mythbusters doing it? What were they doing?
Do they need reasons? What Some about myth? That show made you think that. They need reasons? You never watched Mythbusters? I feel like that was up your alley, Joe.
Oh, no, no, no. I say I would watch that. Like, that's the reason, is that people would watch it. Mm-hmm. I would watch that. Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
I'm look this up for a second. Mythbusters, was it like a... Do you remember what they were shooting it at?
I think it was originally... Well, I feel like it was the leading edge of a wing. Maybe,
I'm
that's
100%
I'm
sure
that
you're thinking of the... Oh, wait, maybe.
The Columbia foam?
Oh, no. It might have been a bird strike test. Let's see.
Oh.
I know they accidentally did it frozen.
Oh,
no, I'm right
and they're
about
simulating
this one
time. What if you... That feels like Mythbusters, where they would simulate a couple of like smaller bird strikes, and they'd be like, well, we also bought this rotisserie chicken.
Yeah, I think I think that's what happened. I'm pretty sure but based I feel on what like, I'm looking at, that's what happened.
I need someone to fact check this too. I feel like NASA actually did that for something, and they realized they needed to unthaw the chickens because they're shooting them frozen. And there was
what
just
are they
you know,
doing with
way
the...
more of a projectile. What did you say, Joe?
What are they doing? What is NASA doing shooting chickens out of a gun, though? I'm really trying to...
Hold on a second, real quick.
It's not just space.
That's a sentence from a NASA conspiracy theory video on YouTube, for sure. What is NASA doing shooting chickens out of guns?
Shooting
like,
chickens.
That's what you sound like. You sound
NASA
chicken prosecutorial in tone.
I just typed in NASA chicken gun. The chicken cannon. Snopes.com. British train engineer supposedly received help from the FAA about the proper use of chicken launchers.
Hello?
Okay, well, I don't know what that is.
Joe's getting a whole new idea for an upcoming video.
Yeah, I'm seeing, when you type in NASA chicken gun, the
he's
third
gonna
result
launch a chicken
is
through the plume of the rocket that's also going to cook steak and see if he can cook the chicken on the way by. I don't know where we've gotten with this
man.
Show.
Oh. I don't know about
did they do it?
English-academic.com. But they say
oh, that's where I get all the of my misname. Information is English-academic.com.
It's academic.
Only the
one
best
of several
source
large diameter compressed one of the several large diameter compressed air cannons used by the FAA and the U.S. Air Force to test strength of aircraft windshields and the safety of jet engines using like to test for bird strikes.
Yeah, I guess I'm wondering why you wouldn't pick birds that fly at the level of airplanes.
No, no, this makes sense to me.
Inanimate objects. I don't know, like what.
It totally makes sense to me that you start with the small birds, and then at some point, someone goes to the grocery store and they're like, "Listen, let's just see what happens."
It is cheap. It's right? a COTS program right there.
If you've got the wind tunnel time, just like
commercial out of the refrigerated section of the grocery store. It's COTD, wow. Commercial off the deli. Yeah.
Oh my god.
I get wow. it. It is cheaper, but like, I've got a lot of Canadian geese in my neighborhoods down here. So.
See, a chicken would be a decent analog for use. Like a goose.
Oh, I was saying that like those are free if you do it right.
Oh.
Yeah.
There's a lot of them. That's all I'm saying. Anyway.
That's true.
Yeah, I'm wondering about your test program for cooking all this stuff. I've been ruminating on that some more. How would you heat up a test object for this?
Oh, blowtorch.
Yeah, blowtorch.
And then you just figure.
Is that fast enough though?
Yeah, you just measure. Well, we don't need to. Well,
I'm trying to do this realistic.
Here's the thing.
Test as we fly.
I'm not.
Test as we cook.
Fly as you fly, test as
you cook.
Cook
as you fly.
cook as you fly. Yeah, I think we can do an amount of math. I think I have the ability to go on twitter.com and toss out some math and be like, can someone please fact check me on if you think this is actually right? And then what we'll do is we'll toss a blowtorch on there, see if the heat actually moves through the object the way we think. Can probably get a thermal imager, like if we really needed it to like visualize that. But at some point, you got to stick some meat in there and see what happens. You know?
Yeah.
Boy, if I haven't heard that.
Life is about taking risks. Yeah. Life is about taking risks and staying out of the wind tunnel.
What is the scale of this meat rocket as you're imagining it? Is it similar to some of your recent stuff, or is this a bigger vehicle?
Yeah. So it'll be pretty. It'll be.
Huge.
Yeah, it's about Falcon. In between Send It and Lumineer. So Lumineer was like 9-10 feet tall. Send It was like my ish height. And so it'll be, I don't know. I can't do the math on that, but I don't have the actual like height yet, but it'll be 4 inches in diameter. And I'm trying to get a conical nose cone because conical nose cones are really good for high Mach stuff. But I cannot find one yet.
Is that where it's just a straight, like, it doesn't taper at all? It's just completely, like, straight walls?
The tapers are always prettier, but conical is a little bit better if you're, like, really going for it. Like, when I do the space shot, it'll probably be a conical nose cone.
That also gives you more cooking surface area.
That's true, too.
Even,
like,
too.
You don't want it to... Yeah.
It's pretty good.
Anyway, there's a lot of work to do in the meat rocket. Like, there is no CAD, there is no physical design. It's just this idea that I have started purchasing parts for. So now it has to happen.
Wait, question. If you're making like a metal sharp cone,
yeah,
is that bad? Like, is that like
what
just
do you
a
mean,
projectile
is that bad?
More than
is that bad?
Than a normal nose
it
cone?
It does certainly look like a reentry vehicle. Yes, if that's what you're asking.
Yeah,
like,
no. If
and
like if it doesn't, this is the same thing
like
with
if
any
it came
rocket.
Back,
oh you know? Yeah, dangerous.
If you don't get the parachutes out, you get in the bunker. And honestly, at that point, with that scale of rocket, like you're safer not in the bunker. This is the funny thing about going in the bunker out in the desert when like something's coming in ballistic. You're actually safer. Don't take my word for this, but I think you're safer out of the bunker, not with a ceiling over your head, because if it comes. And it hits the bunker, it's going right through it, like something that scale. And it'll take the ceiling down with it. And so the better thing to do is just stand out in the open. Yeah. And if it kills you, it'll kill you instantly. You will have no idea. It's kind of a binary thing at that point.
And there will be two pieces of cooked meat.
Binary dead.
Yeah.
And a skewer.
Yeah. Right.
It's a Joe kebab.
That's what you want. You become a kebab.
Joe kebab.
No, it's a metal tipped nose. It's a big pointy rocket, and it will not feel great if you get hit by it. So we're gonna try to not do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't do that.
No, it's a bad plan.
This is why you have redundancy.
I support the rest of the
all of your systems. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm gonna convince you to put some cheese steak in this rocket and come out. Although it noted in the last couple shows, I've talked about how disappointing the California desert is, so I might be kind of disappointed when we're there. I've got to be honest. It's a disappointing
desert. The desert
is beautiful. The California one is just disappointing compared to the other ones that we have in this nation. That's all I'm saying.
Well, you got what's your problems with
it? Little East. It's just boring looking compared to Utah and Arizona. It's boring.
I don't think it's a good enough argument.
Yeah, boring looking. Sorry.
Did you guys happen to see? Sorry to change gears a little bit, but did you happen to see Dude Perfect had like? They're going to space with New Shepard, or one of them is, and they did like a contest, and they had no bunker or anything. They had some large rockets there flying. How did you feel about that safety, Joe?
Well, so they don't. I don't know how transparent they are about it, but they worked with this company called Lock Precision, and Lock actually built all of their rockets. So, like, this is not a big surprise. Like, this happens with a lot of larger YouTube channels. So, that's kind of how most launches work. You just keep your eye on it, and if it starts coming towards you, you try to move away. It's a little yeehaw. Parts of amateur rocketry.
Dang.
It's just, think about like the statistics of like, you know, there's some probability that it hits within a circle. And if you're one point in that circle, like the larger the circle is, your probability gets like really, really low. And that's kind of the odds that you're playing.
Yeah. Just that's like how I tell myself we'll be totally fine. Yeah, I was going to say, that's how I tell myself we'll be fine out here.
Yeah.
It's a big circle.
Do you know how far it's really going to have to be for the orbital launch?
Well, there's been rumors swirling around that it will go beyond the 5-mile radius, which I do not understand. Like, I can't fathom how that'd work. Because, you know, if it goes to 6 miles, the south bit of Port Isabel would be totally, like, have to be emptied. And the south part, anything south of the Pearl Hotel on South Padre would also have to be, like, completely evacuated. And I just can't imagine the logistics of how you clear out, you know, 1,000 people in Port Isabel and, you know, a couple hotels and condominiums and stuff. And Isla Blanca Park, which has like hundreds of camping spots, and the KOA. I just don't know how they'd clear that. You know, we're talking about thousands of people having like a mandatory evacuation. Yeah. And that's part of the launch license. So when people say like, oh, they gave them approval, it's like, They still got a launch license. Yep.
This is why I'm like, I don't know about this whole place down there. Like, I don't know what's going to happen long term. Are you getting nervous, Tim? The more segments get stacked onto the launch tower, Kennedy. How do you feel about that?
I'm excited for that.
Okay.
I think that'll be great. I still don't know why they're doing that at 39A, though. Like, why aren't they doing it at 40, or they have, you know, 49A and B that they're, I think, working on? Yeah, and I think they have another one even between 40 and 37. It's just like, why aren't they building on something fresh instead of like next to the only pad that, you know, can currently do humans?
Like the most historic pad. Yeah.
And historic and currently important. it's not like it's lost its relevance.
DOD? Right. Why aren't they doing this at 40 or anywhere else? I don't get it.
Yeah, some people in the chat are saying, is it because like all of the infrastructure that's already there? The tankage that exists that they can use, but they're adding all the methane. So,
right.
You know, I guess it helps with the oxygen, but.
I don't get it.
Also, then trying to convince NASA, like, all right, what we're going to do, we're going to launch this giant rocket, and then we're going to fly it right back here, right next to, like, everything you hold holy. Because people also got to remember, like, NASA's Kennedy Space Center contains two and only two launch pads. I guess three if you count the little one that's inside the perimeter of 39B. But, like, the rest are on Cape Canaveral Space Force Station. They can have those discussions with them separately. But NASA has two pads. And one of them is now going to be the target of a gigantic rocket. It's trying to land back on it. It's, you know, I don't know.
I forgot about that tiny little pad at 39B. Why doesn't Astra use that?
I don't know if it ever really existed.
Oh, okay.
There were so many restrictions around it because it was like, you can use it if you do this, that, or this, and don't conflict with any SLS stuff, and try to plan a schedule around SLS stuff. I don't know. And there's other ones down the Cape that are easier, I guess. I don't know.
Mm.
What's up with Astra, though?
Yeah, that is a silly thing.
Joe, you specialize in small rockets. What's up with Astra?
Oh, man. Not that small. Well, not that size. I don't know what's up with Astra. I hope they get their stuff figured out. It's tough to see them stumble a couple of times. It's a bummer. And it was two NASA payloads too, which is too bad.
They have great failure modes though. Like SpaceX has some good ones, but Astra's got some great ones.
The slide is like historic. The slide off the pad was chef's kiss.
A Kool-Aid man out of the fairing? That's top 10 for me.
Kool-Aid man out of the fairing too.
That's so good. That one was the best one.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, that's the best one.
I don't know. I can't. Power slide for me. I'm power slide. Yeah. Kool-Aid man, great. Power slide. Yeah, that was
insane. We need to put a poll up somewhere. Kool-Aid man or power slide.
And the best part about the power slide is it went through the gap in the fence. It like it's like it knew where to go.
That was unbelievable. Awesome. And I love how you know its exact thrust to weight ratio now. Because like one engine shuts down and its thrust to weight ratio was exactly one. So it's like, normally it'd have a 1.25:1 thrust to weight ratio. It's hilarious.
We're watching it again because it's too good.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, through the fence. Oh, yeah, I forgot about how precision this power slide was.
Tokyo Drift, baby.
And it just immediately happened. This is a really good
one. I still think you can hear someone gasp on the stream.
Like, oh, no.
Like when it happens.
I think so. Or my favorite is, I don't remember who it was with NSF that was filming. It was either Brady or somebody got ready. Almost, I think, got nervous that they saw smoke and that they might have missed it tracking or, you know, with the tilt. And kind of like pulled up a little bit just in case, and then went back down and was like, then you slowly see it like coming from the trees, which is totally understandable. I mean, I'm not saying that you shouldn't have done that, but
yeah,
like, that is hilarious because that's exactly what I would have done too, you know?
Man.
Yeah.
But it was too bad. You should maybe replicate that sometime, Joe.
I have done that.
On purpose?
I accidentally did. No, I didn't do it on purpose. I was using the wrong thrust curve, like the wrong reference for a solid motor that I was using, and I was playing it really close to the chest, and I ended up matching pretty well, like the propellant loss from the motor with the thrust curve of the motor, which goes down over time, and like it pretty much hovered like a meter above the ground and then just slid to the side. It's a great shot. It's somewhere on my channel. I think there's a video called like All My Rockets That Didn't Work, and it's in there somewhere.
I'll link it. I gotta link that in the show notes. That's a great one.
You've had some cool failures.
We didn't even talk about the Christmas tree. God damn, we didn't talk about the Christmas tree.
Yeah, love the Christmas tree.
We got like 2 minutes. We got to talk about the Christmas tree because this is. I don't know if you saw this, Tim. Did you see that Joe launched a Christmas tree?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
How could he not? I watched it with my family on Christmas morning.
Why did you do this?
Why not?
Yeah, no, I mean,
we were driving back. Zyla did that bulletproof ball gown thing, and then we went out to the desert and we like shot the dress. And as we were driving back, we were like, we should do a collaboration at some point. And we were thinking of all of these ideas that were like pretty serious. And then I don't know what prompted it, but I looked up. I knew that people had like shoved rocket motors into Christmas trees before, and usually like it doesn't go super well. Christmas trees aren't really meant to fly. So usually the tree like curlicues or it does all sorts of like stuff that you don't want it to do. And I was like, what if we tried to get one to actually fly pretty well? And if you see it on the screen, like it's a gorgeous flight.
Majestic. In fact,
it's like straight up.
It had no right to
I think
that
that's,
good.
Yeah. And that's like one of my favorite projects we've done. We also, the motor failed to light three times. And so how dark it is outside makes the whole thing look so beautiful because of how bright the motor is. And we couldn't,
and the
we
lights.
Couldn't have done it if we tried. Yeah.
God, that's such a good one.
Yeah, we sent it to like 300 something feet. And then it
when
came
you were
right
selecting
back down.
The tree, did you, were there like deliberations about which kind of tree to pick and, you know, Douglas fir versus yeah, the other ones or whatever? Like, what were the deliberations there?
We wanted a few things. We had looked at, I expected around a 40-pound tree, and we ended up with about a 35 or 30-pound tree. But they don't tell you how much it weighs at the site. So, like, we're all going around this Christmas tree, you know, store or whatever you call it, where they're in, like, a parking lot, like, lifting up these trees and, like, oh, it feels like about 35, 40 pounds. And then the other thing we wanted is we called it the floof factor. So the branches go foof like that. Because you really, if you play the clip of the launch again, like all of the branches go in.
It's perfect.
When it lifts off. And that's the funniest thing to me. So those were the things that
it is perfect.
For.
Hold on. I got to get floof back to it. I think I got it.
The around floof 40. Factor.
Oh, yeah.
Oof. Yeah.
It really accentuates the liftoff. It's so good.
I can't believe the lights stayed on and everything.
Yeah, we zip tied the crap out of those. That was sponsored by Zip Ties. And then we intentionally like left some of the ornaments hanging off just pretty loosely because we wanted them to fall off. Like it's really funny if they're falling off as it flies.
Makes it look like insulation on the vehicle, you know?
And I kid you not, like, pretty on average, about once every 2 weeks, I get a DM from someone who's like, hey, I found another ornament just at the launch site.
No way. We
tried really hard. We, like, walked through the launch site back and forth to try and, like, collect all the ornaments so that we don't litter. And they're everywhere. They're all over that place.
They weren't glass, were they?
No. They're just like little wood, you know, ornaments with stickers on them. But yeah, it's just funny. I get a message and it's like, hey, is this yours? It's like, yeah, no, you can just have it. Yeah,
use it next year.
Yeah.
Oh, so good.
All right,
Joe, what else are you working on if people have not partaken in the Barnard Cinematic Universe? What should they be checking out?
The big thing this summer is Scout. We are going to land a model rocket. I am going to do it or I will die trying. It has been a billion years since I started trying to do that. And the goal, like laser set in my sights right now, is I will finish this no matter what it costs. So we've got throttle control. We've got rocket motors that light in the air. We've got super cool guidance systems. And if you want to see that, you can go to my channel.
Which is?
Oh, bps.space.
There it is.
I'm a bad YouTuber. I don't know how to plug it.
Tim, what about you? What you've got cooking other than trying to debug streaming hardware?
Yeah. Well, at night, whenever I'm done trying to do stream stuff, we're still editing the last Elon interview together, which is about Raptor. So we're standing there with Raptor 2, and we're also making a companion video that compares Raptor 1 and Raptor 2 based on some of the conversation just to help people, you know, digest some of that stuff. So
ooh, super cool.
We're almost done. I keep thinking we're done, but you know how this stuff is. Yeah. Soon.
That is so good. That's going to be great because that's something that like is still slightly mysterious unless you talk to people that work on it. So that'll be sweet.
This is the best part of the interview by far. Yeah. Like
that's
the
also
most
quintessential Tim Dodd. Like that's
engines, baby.
Yeah, that's where it's at.
Yep.
So I'm pumped for that.
Yeah. It'll be fun.
Next week, we've got Nadia Drake coming on this podcast here, which is going to be a lot of fun because James Webb's about to release a bunch of images, or maybe one. I don't know how many they said, but the first images. So they pluralized it in a couple of announcements. So I'm assuming it's multiple. It'd be really disappointing if it's just one sweet shot. But that's going to be awesome. I'm pumped. Jake will be back next week. And I think that's all we got going on. So till then, we're just watching the
rocket.
Land the rocket. Figure out when we're all flying to Boca Chica. Figure out when we're all flying to Kennedy Space Center. There's a lot of travel to be booked in the next several weeks. So,
hey, one of you guys
get those free
come here, you can drive this. If one of you guys comes here, you can drive this giant one of these giant robots. Ooh, these are really fun. We can stack it with like multiple. We got like 130 pounds in there, so we can stack it with multiple.
Can we string that to the meat rocket when it happens?
Yes.
Nice.
Please. Right. Can I be there for that? Rent out Tim Dodd's services?
We can do it 4K. Maybe.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks everybody for hanging out. Thanks, Joe. Thanks, Tim.
All right.
We will see y'all later.
Later, guys.
Thank you.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. End of test.